Saturday morning, Power Talk Radio, 1460 and 101 FM. Edward King of Alliance Career Training Solutions is with us today. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Doing pretty good. So we have a little golf story you want to share with us.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I bet you didn't know I actually went out and tried to play professional golf.
Well, I remember you mentioned that in passing once, that you were a pretty good scratch golfer.
Huh? I had a plus handicap when I was working very, very hard at it, and I was in the senior tour, so I was in the 50-plus. It was a great experience.
So this was only a few years ago.
Yeah, right. I quit in 2009, so a little while ago.
Did you play golf as in your youth on a college team or anything like that?
Actually, I even played junior golf. So I was playing junior tournaments when I was 12.
Okay.
So my dad started me when I was 10 and played up into college, switched sports in college to badminton. It was awesome. And then later on, when my wife, who passed now, had cancer, they really said I really needed to find an other outlet to balance my life because she was 24/7 care she needed. And I went whole hog into golf and decided to go back in and work my way through the PAT and work my way into having a couple of sponsors. And so I got a couple of sponsorships, exemptions to play on a couple of events, like the Shell Open was a pretty cool one. And I was just in the process of the Senior Open when my wife passed away. And right after that, I quit. So, you know, when I was out there, it was pretty interesting, too. I had a couple of coaches. One was Dave Pels. Another one was Butch Harmon.
Uh-huh.
So I would go down to, Texas with Dave or Butch. I was down in Henderson and outside of Las Vegas. But, you know, one thing that struck me is a Lee Trevino quote that he said that, "I've never had a coach in my life. When I find one who can beat me, then I'll listen." And that's pretty famous in the golfing world, what he had to say. But, you know, in today's world, it really doesn't bode well for the players. There are a couple of them. Bubba Watson is self-taught. But all the rest of them have been using some amazing, excellent coaches. And, you know, it's not just the physical side, it's the mental side. So, you know, the reality in business today is, what is it that we can do? Are we going to be self-taught? Or are we going to be driven? You know, when you look at some of the Warren Buffett, I mean, the man reads 3 hours minimum a day, every day, and he's very, very successful because of knowledge. So, you know, we were going back on Tuesday and talking about the reality is that people don't know what they don't know. And when it comes to, you know, business skills, not just software business skills, but the skills of leading, the skills of being a good planner, a good collaborator, the issue is you can't just rely on your own knowledge. You really have to seek that out. So, you know, this week we heard about General Motors shutting down 5 plants. I think that was pretty significant, and it's really kind of put some markets, some people uncomfortable, like, where's the economy going? So I wanted to mention that there really are only 3 options in that regards. So one of them is that your business is growing, and I'm involved with a number of CEOs, and their businesses are growing, and they're really expanding, and they're moving into new markets, and they're finding a reality that finding good staffing is tough. There's a lot of competition for staffing. Some businesses, on the other hand, are shrinking, and they need to make cuts. And yet the solution for both is exactly the same, which is, again, education. So if your business is shrinking, what you have to do is you have to educate the employees that you have so that they can handle all the new tasks that they're now being given, and that they have to be more efficient at doing what they're doing already. I can't tell you how many times I hear the same story. Someone comes into our Excel classes and they say, "Oh, I know how to use Excel." 5 hours later, 6 hours later, they're walking out. 8 hours later, and they're saying, "I didn't know that you could do it that way." And that education is important. On the other side, where you're having a hard time hiring staff, educate them when they come in. Train them. It's not just the onboarding process of bringing in an employee. It's where they're teaching them, you know, where your paperwork is. Right. But it's really just bringing up the skills that are lacking in these people that you're hiring that you really need to do. If you're a business owner and you think that business is going to be about the same next year, my question to you is, are you asleep at the wheel? Because it really should never be the same. The only way that you can get get down the road of business life is to keep your foot on the pedal and keep gas in the engine and keep it moving forward at a faster and faster progressive speed. And that takes education. So those are the things that I really wanted to talk about in regards to the reality is that your employees, they don't know what they don't know. Yeah. And even more critical is, boss, do you really know what they know?
Yeah. So you mentioned the interesting thing about the news that came out the other day about GM shuttering, five plants. 27,000 mm-hmm. workers, yeah. I believe. One of the things that was mentioned was that they are moving in a direction of producing more electric vehicles mm-hmm. and autonomous vehicles, self-driving cars,
right.
Which it sounds like they won't need as many workers for those, but also that they were at over capacity. And then I noticed that the woman who's the CEO of GM, Mary Barra, she was at the White House the other day, and the president met with her, and you know, from what I heard on the news reports and some of the comments that the president had, were that he's essentially trying to jawbone GM into mm-hmm. keeping those plants open, because mm-hmm. like most politicians, he's just looking at it from a purely political angle.
Yeah.
They're in states that I need votes in and so forth, but I don't know that that's necessarily going to carry the day. One thing he did mention was that he was trying to create a moral imperative for GM to keep those plants open, because look at everything the government has done for GM. Mm-hmm. And that is a legitimate point that, hey, yeah. you know, the taxpayers have bailed you guys out more than once.
Right.
So don't you owe us a little something?
Yeah.
And I guess to me that, as you know, as somebody with kind of a libertarian mindset, that points to the problem of government getting into the business of propping up businesses, is that you create this type of mindset mm-hmm. where the businesses could be hamstrung to do what they need to do to survive and thrive because, you know, there's this thing hanging over them that, well, gee, the government took care of us last time, and do we have any sort of obligation? And it also gets to one of the things that you talked about before, is your business surviving or thriving?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to keeping a business going and making it successful, and you have to draw in shareholder dollars or investor dollars, not too many people are really interested in investing in businesses that are surviving. They want to get involved in businesses that are thriving.
Yeah. All right. So one of the things about GM that was interesting is they're closing the five plants in the U.S., two of which are transmission, three are assembly plants, but they still have the five plants down in Mexico producing the same exact products. Now, the other thing you had mentioned about the electric vehicles, which I really believe this is going to be a huge direction for all the manufacturers, but they're shutting down Volt. It's only got one more year of production. So I don't know what they're really doing.
Yeah. Well, the Volt car hasn't been that popular.
No, I think there's been a number. I even saw a Fiat, you know, the little Fiat 500.
Right.
I saw an electric version of that yesterday. And the person bought it. It was a year old for $10,000. Original price was $33,000. I mean, she got a great deal, obviously, but somebody took a terrible hit.
Yeah. The electric cars aren't really, they don't have the same resale value as the gas vehicles at this point.
People don't have any faith in them.
Well, yeah. It's still such a new technology, right?
Yeah.
Anything else we got for the folks today?
Well, you know, I was going to mention maybe what we'll do is we'll cover this next week. But, you know, the reality is I want to share with the listeners about where software is going and what are the tools out there that people should be investing in. The last little point that I brought out is I don't know if people have heard of a company called InVision. I'm not pitching them or anything, but I wanted to make a point about them. You know, they have a $1 billion market value, so they're no small change people. They have 800 employees. Guess what? They have no offices. All of this is done from home, from individuals, self offices, and it's all collaboratively run. Yeah.
Boy, so, that takes off. It could really hit the commercial real estate market, couldn't it?
Well, you know, I think they're charging way too much. Even here in Salinas, you know, over $2 a square foot for just chumpy commercial. Yeah, it's overpriced. And businesses are going to be going through tough times in the next 2 years, and they're going to have to downsize because landlords are greedy.
That is one of the continuing problems that we seem to have.
They don't understand that it's a team, collaborative, landlord and business. The landlord doesn't do well when all of the spaces are empty. So why is it that they take that steal it from you now approach? I don't get it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap things up here. But Edward, before we go, you mentioned that you were on the senior tour for a little bit there.
Yeah.
So in some of those tournaments that you played in, were there some of the famous names that we would recognize?
Yeah. Walked alongside many of them.
Just throw out a couple names. Name drop a couple.
Oh, no, I'm not going to name drop them, but...
Obviously, you have a love of the game of golf. You grew up watching golf.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw many of those stars when they were on the regular PGA Tour. It must have been almost surreal to be walking along the fairway, and you look over to your right, and there's...
Jack
Nicklaus that you played. Right. Watched.
Yeah. It was also very, very humbling, too. You know, the game of golf, I think, is a humbling sport, but to play along with some of the names was just a real honor to be out there on the same course as them.
What a great memory. Edward King, Alliance Career Training Solutions, has been our guest, and you can reach Edward through the school, alliancetrains.com, and the telephone number?
831-755-8200. Thanks, Mark. I hope everybody has a great holiday month.
Thank you very much, Edward.